$1,000. That's code Chicago to get your sign-up bonus up to $1,000. Only at DraftKings Sportsbook. Must be 21 or older. Indiana only. Bonus comprised of a first deposit bonus and a first bet match, each up to $500. Deposit bonus requires 25 times playthrough. Restrictions apply. See DraftKings.com/sportsbook for details. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-9-WITH-IT.
Dance like a dad. It's a great way to make a moment with your kids.
First, I hold my hands out like they're on a steering wheel. Then I look over my shoulder. Next, I put it in reverse. Meep, meep, meep.
Visit fatherhood.gov. Brought to you by the U.S. Department of Health and Human Services and the Ad Council.
There has never been a more important time than now to work for a trucking company you can count on. Schneider was founded over 85 years ago during the Great Depression. We've thrived through the good times and the bad, providing truck drivers consistent work and paychecks. Today is no different. Schneider remains loaded and moving while adding new customers because of the outstanding service our drivers provide. Schneider is a company that drivers can always count on. Apply today at SchneiderJobs.com.
We save big money with our Progressive Home and Auto Bundle and use the cash to take a family vacation.
To Hawaii.
Who's up for a luau?
Yay!
This is not a real testimonial. Sure, customers can save big money with Progressive, but not enough to go to Hawaii. They'll probably use it for things like the mortgage and groceries, or even a travel magazine, so at least they can see pictures of Hawaii.
Aloha!
Yes, say hello to those beautiful Hawaiian beaches in that magazine. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates.
Hi, I'm Andy Puddicombe, the host of a brand new podcast called Radio Headspace. I'd love it if you could join me to start the day in a different way. Whether you like to think of it as a thought for the day, a moment of pause, or some time to reflect. And a reminder that no matter what's going on in our lives, there's comfort to be found in coming together for just a few minutes every weekday morning. You can listen and subscribe to Radio Headspace for free on radio.com, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you like to listen.
Dan Bernstein will be back in 60 seconds on 670 The Score.
During these challenging times, listening is fundamental to promoting understanding and healing. That's why I'm Listening is here to help you talk about mental health. We feature conversations from celebrities and mental health professionals who share how they manage anxiety, depression, and other mental health issues. Our mission is to combat the universally felt crisis of distance and division by promoting conversations that end the stigma of talking about mental health. Find resources and more information at imlistening.org. That's imlistening.org.
To take this station with you wherever you go, download the radio.com app today and listen to this station and over 300 other stations. With the radio.com app, you can favorite your top stations for easy access and receive alerts with breaking news, contest opportunities, and more. To favorite a station, just click on the heart icon in the upper left-hand corner of your favorite station's logo. Go to your app store or radio.com/download and start listening today. Radio.com.
This segment is brought to you by Door Systems, now offering touch-free doors. Call 1-800-THE-DOOR.
670 The Score is the official radio home of Cubs baseball. Listen to all 60 games of the 2020 season here.
It's got a chance! Cubs win!
Live from the Hyundai Studios, this is 670 The Score. WSCR and HD Chicago. WBMX HD2 Chicago. A radio.com sports station.
This hour is brought to you by Door Systems, now offering touch-free doors. Call 1-800-THE-DOOR.
The Dan Bernstein Show. Weekdays 9 a.m. to noon on Sports Radio 670 The Score.
Well, let's see if Darvish now can get himself turned around. Eloy Jimenez, the batter. The young right-handed batter waits and hits a high fly ball into deep center field. That's trouble all the way back, and it's a grand slam. Eloy Jimenez with a grand slam to dead center, and the White Sox have taken a 5-0 lead here in the bottom of the first inning.
I think mainly with the two-strike pitches just kind of leaking over middle, you know, got a little sharper as things kind of progressed. The splitty really came into play a little later on, getting the ball out front. You saw some real depth with the split finger. Just didn't find that release point early on, especially with two strikes, getting ahead well. Pitches looked fine. And then a couple just fastball home run.
Yeah, except for the fastball home run that went 420 feet, despite him really only using his front side on that one. Foot comes down, weight goes forward, and he just flicks that thing 420 feet. Good Lord, man. Well, they're 0-2, and the good news is it doesn't matter. Or does it? Here joining us with his own analysis is Russ Dorsey, the new beat writer for the Chicago Sun-Times, covering the Chicago Cubs. He's on Twitter at Russ_Dorsey, and he's on the Alpamonte Ford hotline, Alpamonte Ford in Melrose Park. How are you, Russ?
Dan, I'm doing well, my friend. How are you?
Good. How are you getting treated as a first-timer on the beat? I know it's different now because of all the social distancing rules. But, you know, back in the day, you might be, you know, carrying somebody's pads, you know, going to get a cup of coffee from somebody there. I was like, oh, the new guy. What's the new guy got for us?
No, it's been cool, man. I think the cool part for me is even as the young guy on the beat, I was an intern, and a lot of these guys and gals got to see me grow. From the 19-year-old that was an intern at the Daily Herald to now being the Cubs beat reporter for the Chicago Sun-Times. So those guys appreciate that grind and that growth. And so there's not been a lot of getting of the coffee or carrying pads.
Well, that's cool stuff. I love stories like that. Having been an intern locally myself, I know how much that matters. And believe, I wish our intern program here could come back. You know, every time I hear Jason Benetti, you know, one of our many successful former interns of our show, it's so significant in it's the best way to just jump right in and start realizing how, you know, who to emulate really is what I looked at. So who do you emulate from those days? Rosner? Or other guys?
Barry Rosner has been my mentor since I was 19 years old. Great dude. And I think the cool part about this last 2.5 weeks has been, I think that night before it was announced, I called him, and just the pride that he had. And it meant a lot to me to be able to tell him that, because, you know, he cared about me as a person and as a reporter before a lot of people did, before people said, you know what, this Russ Dorsey guy is okay. He said, I think you're going to be really successful at this. And, you know, Barry, like, he's a straight shooter, and he doesn't say things like that if he didn't want to. So that meant a lot to me. And so learning from him, being a reporter, learning that the 25th man, now 26th man, is important, and how to be a really good baseball reporter, you know, those are the things that I carry with me today.
I'm trying to talk Jay Zawoski off the ledge, and I'm not doing it real successfully because I don't have usually the bedrock of my baseball argument is the truth of the 162. That 162 right. Reveals everything. It all comes out in the wash. That's not true anymore. So I'm having a very difficult time with his exhibition season Cubs panic. What do you think is material in what you've seen so far?
Jay, first thing I want you to do is back away from the ledge, all right, buddy? I'm going to try to help you out here. Yes, you're absolutely correct, Dan. Over 162 games, the good teams are going to be good, the bad teams are going to be bad, and you might have a surprise here and there. But over a 60-game season, there's a lot of variance. There's a lot of what if. There's a lot of teams that would have normally have question marks that don't in a season like this. So for me, when I'm looking at the Chicago Cubs, what's real and what's not? Well, one thing, I guess, to start from last night, I don't think people should be too concerned about Yu Darvish. Yes, it was he was a little rattled out there in the first inning last night, but I don't know if anybody out there saw, or Dan, I don't know if you saw on that especially on the marquee broadcast. After a couple of at bats, you could see Darvish kind of try to yank his arm down, like he was telling himself, pull it down, and because he was leaving a lot of pitches up in the zone. So I think that's something that as you saw the night went on, he was able to pull the splitter down, or the Supreme, whichever pitch he was throwing, he could pull it down in the zone and get that drop on it and get swings and misses. And for me, as I look at Yu Darvish this season, if there's something that he has an advantage over other pitchers is, no matter how he's feeling, good or bad, he's going to be able to roll out of bed and strike out 7 or 8 guys. He has the advantage of being a swing and miss guy off rip. So I think that's something that benefits him in a season where hitters are going to have the advantage. Like, it's not cold, as you guys talked about earlier. Pitchers are going to have a time of adjustment, ramping up. It's something I wrote in the paper today, actually, which it seems small, but guys aren't going to be able to go to their mouth to get saliva for grip, you know? So having the wet rag out there how is that going to affect guys? It's, you can't get that grip on the slider or curveball that you would normally get. How do you adjust? How do you manage that? So as far as things that you shouldn't be concerned about, I wouldn't be concerned about you, Darvish. The thing with the hitters is slightly concerning just because I think one Dallas Keuchel is, you know, that's a real dude throwing pitches out there. But you want to see some competitive at-bats as we get closer to the start here. And we didn't see a ton of that from the Cubs. I know David Ross wanted to get a couple left-handers in there against a tough lefty just so that they can start seeing that a little bit more. That's fine. But you do want to start seeing these guys work some of these at-bats a little bit because it's hard to ask a group of guys to flip a switch that fast, especially in a season where you had to start, then stop. Now you have to flip the switch again, and then, oh, game's real now. So those are the things that I would and would not be concerned about.
But wasn't the David Ross hire and this the supplantation of Joe Maddon because of this intensity out of the gate? That Meatball Theo, after every season, he disappointed, he would talk about a reckoning and a change, and October starts in March, and he didn't want guys just saying, oh, you know, well, it's an outcome, it'll all probably be fine. The whole David Ross hire was predicated on this level of attention to detail, intensity, and awareness of the significance of every moment. So it's even in much more stark focus because of why Joe Maddon isn't here.
I think those things are still true. I think if we get to a week from today and the Cubs have not won a game yet and they look lethargic on the field and pitchers aren't doing well and hitters are not having competitive at-bats, I do think we'll hear that from David Ross. We're going to hear the guy says, guys need to get things in gear here and move forward. And you're right, Theo has been very vocal about those things and how they need to start faster in seasons. And I think we'll see that as the season moves along here. But the question that I have, and just thinking as a person who loves baseball, is how do you evaluate a season that is so short and doesn't really replicate who you are as an organization, who you are as a franchise? Like, are you going to make some trade deadline deal because of two bad weeks? For me, if I was going to do that, I wouldn't. But these are the things that execs around baseball are going to have to start having here as we move forward.
And they wouldn't answer the question. I tried to ask Jed Hoyer about that. I was like, well, that's not the time to concentrate on that, not the time to talk about Chris Bryant's future. And they used all sorts of dodges when it coming to ask that. But the truth is there's going to be more seasons after this one, and teams have a responsibility to find what. And I asked him directly, and he dodged it, but what's the hack? You know, what are these really smart guys in a conference room now talking about, saying we can gain an enormous competitive advantage in this odd season by doing this, this, and this that will better position us to win other World Series perhaps than this one? I would love to know 3 years from now when we go back and say, man, they realized something other teams didn't, what that thing is.
No, you're right. What's the new trendy market inefficiency that makes you different than the rest of the pack? That's actually a good point there. And I think as Jed has tried to stay away from, and as we've tried to gather more information, it's, you know, you're right. They have a lot of decisions you have to make over this next couple months that determines the ground for your next 3-4 years as a franchise. Like, Chris Bryant doesn't all of a sudden not become a free agent because it was a 60-game season, and Wilson Contreras and Javi Baez still doesn't have an extension. So a lot of these questions are going to have to start getting answered. And do you put yourself on pause as a franchise because this is just a season where you can't really evaluate? Because if we get to the end of the season and the Cubs are 30-30, what did this tell you about where the Cubs are as an organization? I don't know if that tells you much. If they're 40-20, if they're 20-40. Like, I think all of these things – have to be asked by executives and front offices around the game, because if you know, you can't hold your operation hostage because of the season, but you are going to have to take things with a grain of salt because it's not what you would normally handle.
I just got a note in the my email that Jose Quintana has a media availability that's starting in a half hour to 45 minutes from now. I'm sure you're going to be on that. What do we need to find out from him today?
Well, Tommy Hotovy told us yesterday that he started throwing from 90 feet, so up from the start of 60, and he's going to be, hopefully, as far as Hotovy is concerned, he said throwing a bullpen within the next 7 to 10 days, but it's going to be based off of how that arm feels after not throwing for a while and building up that arm strength. So if they say in a week, all right, Q's arm is strong enough to start throwing some of these bullpens, they'll start getting him in the fold, and then hopefully after that, see where he is and evaluate further.
And Rizzo's okay?
Rizzo's back looks to be trending upward. He went through the gauntlet on Sunday as far as workouts. He went through BP, went through his infield drills. Yesterday was a recovery day for him where he just hit and went home and got treatment. So somebody's going to ask Dave Ross about it today, but if he's feeling good, he'll probably go through BP again today. And then if he wakes up tomorrow, is feeling well enough, there's still a chance that he'll be in the lineup against the Twins before the start of the season on Friday.
I want to get back to the Darvish question for a second, mm-hmm. because there's so much there, and there was just one aspect of it that I'm still trying to figure out. We know he added that pitch. It's called the Supreme, and I think it's probably because as Taco Bell removes things from their menu, Yu Darvish gets to add it to his. So he's picked up a Supreme from them, and it's a hard two seamer, I believe is what he described it as. And how much is this relationship with Victor Caratini going to have time to develop? Because I would think that that's now Caratini's job to manage and to curate this pitching repertoire with all of these pitches available. And even though they have the scouting report, it's going to be Caratini in early to say, you know, maybe not today on this one, or maybe let's replace this with this as your 0-2-1-2 wipeout pitch. There's a lot to be done and a lot of effect that Caratini can have on the effectiveness of Darvish. Or is it all Darvish dictating everything, just telling Caratini what he's throwing?
Yu is a tinkerer by nature. Like, if something feels slightly off, he's going to try to do what he can to fix that, or maybe move his finger on the baseball to get more spin. But I do think he does trust Victor Caratini. They had a lot of success in the second half of last year. And Victor talked about it when Yu Darvish is a guy that has an insane amount of pitches. So handling that, they want to use each of those to his advantage. And yes, there are going to be some days where the Supreme is not Supreme, and he has to just go fastball, power, curveball, because those are the two pitches that are working really well. But I think he trusts Yu to be honest with him about what's working and what's not. And I do think Yu Darvish is a guy who trusts Victor Caratini. Like, you saw with Wilson Contreras what some of the results were. And then when Victor got in there and they seemed to start to build that rapport last year, I do think that was important for Yu's confidence in his catcher. So maybe Victor is the now David Ross to Darvish's John Lester, you know, and he trusts and believes that anytime he goes out, Victor has the best game plan in mind to get them through the start.
Glad we got to talk. We will do so again soon in the near future, Russ Dorsey. So, again, congrats on being named to the beat, and look forward to conversing Cubs again soon.
My guy. Thanks, Dan. Appreciate it, man.
That is Russ Dorsey of the Chicago Sun-Times. And I don't know if that, Jay, successfully moved you back from the ledge at all, because it sounds like you've taken up permanent residence at the Cubs' emotional ledge. You have your chaise lounge and your giant box of Cheez-Its and your house wine.
No, I'm still not great. Still not doing great. I am still a screw.
You're not yet a screw. That you might be. You very well might be.
I might be.
As Carlos Zambrano once said.
I'm getting very screwy.
Give thanks for God, because without him, I am a screw. Well, you're probably a screw anyway. Football talk next. Eric Edholm has been nice enough to decide to join us. As he can answer the question of what the hell football's trying to do here. Because I guess they finally moved on to like money issues. As they waited all this time to get it all figured out, and they think they've got daily testing going on, and there's no exhibition games. But we'll talk all of it with him next on The Score.
I'm a screw.
Today at noon, new Cubs manager David Ross joins the Lawrence Holmes Show live with Joe Ostrowski filling in for Lawrence.
Everything is how I want it now, and so there's a lot of power in that. There's a lot of being vocal, speaking up, and letting these guys know where the manager stands.
Do not miss the new Cubs manager himself, David Ross, on the Lawrence Holmes Show today at noon on Sports Radio 670 The Score, official radio home of the Chicago Cubs, a radio.com sports station.
This hour on The Score is brought to you by Basement Water Stoppers.
This is Damon Amendolara with your Radio.com Sports Minute.
If you're squinting at the NFL right now, can't quite make out what you're looking at, it's because we've never seen it. That rare and endangered animal is a league office that's placating the players? You know, the union wasn't happy with safety protocols. Quickly, the league office agreed with the players to daily testing over the first 2 weeks of camp. Owners wanted two preseason games. Players wanted zero. Reportedly, the league said, okay, no exhibition games. So what gives? When is it ever this easy? Maybe because the league wants concessions on the financial end and are willing to do what it takes to make more money always. And maybe also because they see what happened to baseball with a brutal labor battle during coronavirus. Either way, catch it now, because we may never see it again. This is Damon Amendolara.
The Home Depot has news that will come as great comfort to your bathroom or bedroom. Right now, you'll find beautiful savings on soft, comfortable bath towels, fresh bed linens, pillows, and cozy comforters. See it all online. Order in minutes. You can even get free delivery right to your door, which is also a pretty nice feeling. Save on select bedding and bath. Get easy online returns. Everything for your home. Everything from HomeDepot.com. How doers get more done. U.S. only, valid through July 22nd. Limitations apply.
Do one thing to protect the environment. It all starts with just one thing. Water sports are a great summer activity, even this year. First, avoid activities like jet skiing or water skiing. Instead, opting for activities like kayaking or paddle boarding. Swimming, snorkeling, and diving are great activities too, and have virtually no impact on the environment. And if using sunscreen during any of these activities, make sure to use a sunscreen labeled Reef Friendly or Reef Safe to protect marine wildlife. It all starts with one thing. Find tips and more at onethingus.com. What's your one thing?
Hi, it's Jamie, Progressive's Employee of the Month, 2 months in a row. Leave a message at the... Hi, Jamie. It's me, Jamie. I just had a new idea for our song about the Name Your Price tool. So when it's like, tell us what you want to pay, hey, 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 and the trombone goes, blah, 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 and you say, we'll help you find coverage options to fit your budget. Then we just all do finger snaps while a choir goes, savings coming at ya, savings coming at ya. Yes? No? Maybe? Anyway, see you at practice tonight. I got new lyrics for the rap break.
Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Thanks for streaming The Score.
Listen to Lawrence Holmes weekdays noon to 2 on The Score.
Charles Peanut Tillman.
I know a ton of law enforcement officers, a ton, not a few, I know a ton, that do their job and they do it the right way. And a lot of them are federal, a lot of them are local, some of them are state. They do their job the right way. And I'm not saying that all police and then, no, I'm not, that is not what I'm saying. I'm just saying the ones that I've had a chance to be around and I know, they do their job the right way. And I'm very grateful for that. I'm grateful for them and for what they do and for them risking their necks, keeping me safe at night. I'm very grateful for them and for what they have done.
Lawrence Holmes, noon to 2 on Sports Radio 670 The Score and 670thescore.com on radio.com sports station.
Did you know that the equivalent of a garbage truck's worth of plastic is dumped in the ocean every minute? 17.6 billion pounds every year. Seabirds are dying after mistakenly eating it. I'm actor Sam Waterston, and I don't want to pollute our oceans every time I buy my groceries, go out to eat, or purchase a beverage. You deserve a plastic-free choice. Join the campaign. Go to oceana.org/plastics today.
You're listening to the Dan Bernstein Show. Back in 60 seconds on The Score.
Only Wendy's 2 for 5 has all the chicken you crave. Choose from the crispy homestyle chicken sandwich, delicious spicy chicken sandwich, classic crispy 10-piece nuggets, or the legendary spicy 10-piece nuggets. But let's be real. You're going to get 20 spicy nugs for $5. I mean, that's what I would do. Enjoy a real deal with the Wendy's 2 for 5. We got you.
Limited time only. Price and participation may vary at U.S. Wendy's. A la carte only. Excludes made to crave.
Thanks for streaming The Score. Listen to Lawrence Holmes weekdays noon to 2 on The Score.
Russ Dorsey covers baseball for MLB.com.
We talk about Sammy Sosa now. That dude was on top of the world. That was the king of the Dominican. And even he had to succumb to that pressure of, is Dark beautiful? And as we've seen over the last 15, 20 years, the answer to that was no to him. And it's just like, you have to consider what deeply rooted things and issues have been a big part of Dominican culture that Sammy grew up with.
Yeah, and that's why when you see, I think he had at some point even admitted to doing some skin lightening. He is by no means alone. And by the way, this isn't something that just happens in Caribbean countries. This is something that's happening in Asia as well, where everyone is trying to get lighter.
Lawrence Holmes, noon to 2 on Sports Radio 670 The Score and 670thescore.com, a radio.com sports station. This is Sports Radio 670 The Score and 670thescore.com, Chicago Sports Station.
There's a responsibility for coaches and players to make sure we handle ourselves right when we're away from it. And we're still going to keep as much social distancing when we can. And that's obviously it's a contact sport. But we're going to keep it when we're not in contact. We're going to keep our social distance when we're not playing. And we have all that set up, and we're going to have our masks set up and do all the things that, and wash our hands, do all those fundamental things. We're going to stay on top of that.
All right. Well, great. And all these words are tremendous for what the intentions are. And as we continue to hear football people say football things, we then have a completely separate track of how they actually accomplish all that stuff. And that's really all the players have wanted to know. It does sound like we're getting closer, perhaps, to some concrete steps that are taken as they are agreeing on some things, trying to zip up this suitcase. And it usually gets tough at the end. Joining us to talk NFL is Yahoo NFL and NFL Draft columnist Eric Edholm. He's on Twitter at Eric_Edholm. He's on the Alpamonte Ford Hotline, Alpamonte Ford in Melrose Park. How you hanging in, Eric?
Yeah, what could go wrong with all this, right?
Right.
I mean, it's a lot to figure out. Like you said, though, I think it's important that we're sort of getting down to some of the granular stuff that was bound to be the last minute, you know, details and the dotting of I's and crossing of, you know, T's and all that stuff. But it's fascinating. You know, some of this is going to work and some of it isn't. We're just going to have to figure out and adjust on the fly, I guess.
A big concession to give the players no exhibition games. Do they ever come back?
Yeah, that's a great question. I think they do. And I mean, like, for instance, before this was announced, I was talking, I think it was, I don't know, Sunday night, I guess. I'm trying to think when I was talking to an agent who said, you know, I had one guy, this draft class that he just had, one seventh round pick, five undrafted free agents who signed, you know, contracts with teams, or maybe it was four or five, whatever it was. And then another guy, a few guys who are still waiting for opportunities. He said, you know, preseason tape is huge for them. Like that segment of society doesn't get talked about on this show or in my stories that often, but it's a big part, right? I mean, that's a huge chunk of the NFL. And, you know, taking that away from them, that opportunity for those guys to put good tape out there, to give the pro personnel staff something to look at if they do get cut, and possibly give these guys a second chance, kind of big. But at the same point, you know, there's been obviously this movement against the preseason being four games. I think those days are probably gone. Maybe there's a happy medium in the middle with two. I don't know, but I still think there's going to be some form of exhibition even post-COVID, and we'll see what it ends up being.
Regarding testing, they said, 14 days of daily testing. And then yeah. I look, and I look on, you know, the splash page at CNN, and it shows a drone shot or a helicopter shot of the long lines of cars at the drive-up testing stations in Florida, and saying that there's almost an infinite number of tests needed that they don't have. We're seeing that the White House is trying to strip out testing funds from the new stimulus bill because they've already said they don't want testing done because it makes the numbers look bad, which means testing is no one's going to make getting a COVID test easy, even as it's spiraling out of control. What's the NFL's responsibility collectively as a citizen here to keep people or to jump to the front of the testing line?
Yeah, like meeting you and I are saying, hey, wait, what about us, right? I mean, I get that, absolutely. So, yeah, I mean, obviously, if it's, you know, especially if schools are opening here and we're debating whether, you know, what the protocols are going to be for them, you know, there's a natural part of the calendar that just falls in line with football season as well. And if, you know, we're talking about 2,000 players, daily tests, you know, every other day after that, I mean, I think I saw a number this morning, the NFL plans to spend $75 million on tests. So there's a bankroll, there's TV money getting poured right into this thing. And, you know, that's probably the number one response, whether you like it or not. I don't really know how to, you know, justify it. I don't know how to say that these guys should be able to get tests, you know, morning, noon, and night, while a lot of other people are waiting for their results 5 and 8 days later. So it's not easy to kind of, you know, come to grips with, but when they have that kind of funding behind them, a lot of things can get done pretty quickly.
So then a Bears fan says, wait a second, no exhibition games. We are going to play football. The whole idea of this season was to have Nick Foles and Mitchell Trubisky face off against each other.
Right.
We know how Matt Nagy feels about exhibition games. He's never taken them seriously before because he thinks that their practices, what they can do under their control, their proprietary information, is as valuable or more valuable than what everybody else sees. Still, he was willing to admit that there was some meaning to the preseason this year. How does this change a possible outcome of this competition, and does it give Mitchell Trubisky a better chance as the incumbent to keep his job?
It feels like it, doesn't it? You know, and that's
it
I
does.
Was on a show just an hour ago saying the same thing, kind of saying that, look, maybe this tilts the scales just a little bit. I mean, it's not as if, you know, I'm sure you guys have talked about it ad nauseum here, that Nick Foles has some experience with guys on the staff. He's had the playbook. He knows the terminology, blah, blah, blah. But, you know, that's a little different than going out there and executing it. And without all those crucial install periods this offseason, or, you know, substituting e-learning for that, I mean, there's probably only so much you can do over a Zoom chat versus in-person walking through, you know, mental reps versus physical reps, whatever you want to call it. Now they get shuttled into these practices, which don't end up turning into much of a competition, do they? So, you know, you would have to think the incumbent has a little bit of an edge in this situation, even with the price they paid for Foles and the respect they seemingly have for him. So, yeah, I wouldn't be stunned. And obviously, I think there are people at House Hall who are still holding out hope against hope that they can salvage something out of Mitch, right? I mean, it's an expensive sort of motivational ploy to go out and get Foles, right? I don't think that's exactly how you want to do it in most situations. But if they can, and he ends up playing pretty well, you shouldn't deny him his job. Let's give him the opportunity to lose it, I guess.
I was reading something the other day, and I forget which player it was, but it was a player cryptically hinting that there are more guys who are seriously out of shape than the league wants to admit, or that individual teams want to admit, because we all know what we've been through in the last 6 months. You know what this has been like for all of us, eating our mac and cheese and our sourdough and our frozen pizza. And it's hard enough. A lot of NFL players, and we know how unnaturally their bodies have to be maintained, either having to keep weight on, you know, having to drink all these protein shakes, having to be on a tight schedule, or some guys who just naturally are going to start to carry bad weight. And the tweet was something to the effect of, man, wait till these coaches see what these guys actually look like. Are you hearing that? Are you hearing that there's a lot more of that possibility than we've been letting on or thinking about?
Well, I hadn't seen that tweet, but I did talk to a guy who kind of a strength and conditioning guy who works with some players in the offseason. And he said, you know, by the time I finally got to sort of see these guys, and by the time I finally got to see my crew, you know, it was clear that they were at different stages, right? We had to kind of start one back at square one. One was already been had already been doing his stuff. And as he explained it to me, I mean, he said some guys are perfectly fine and motivated when they're under a watchful eye. When there's someone there saying, all right, 10 more reps, let's go. They'll do the work. You know, they just need that prodding a little bit. And that's fine. If the results come in and they're in shape, great. But if they're in catch-up mode, or if they're not in shape and they're prone to hamstring injuries and groin injuries and, you know, quads and all those sorts of soft tissue issues, well, they're not going to be on the field competing for a job unless they're already secure in a starting spot. That's worrisome. So, yeah, I don't know what the numbers are going to be. I don't know how many guys are going to show up, you know, 10 pounds of extra bad weight on them, or, you know, not enough, you know, muscle growth or anything like that. But it wouldn't shock me, right? I'm sure there are a lot of professionals out there who really found new creative ways to work out April, May, you know, while we were all kind of indoors. But there are probably others who maybe let it go a little longer than they would in a normal year.
You talk about these creative ways. I mean, I'm thinking about, you know, my wife and kids were laughing at me, but I thought it was really creative that I needed a heavier weight to use than I had. There's a 15-pound set of dumbbells and a 10-pound set of dumbbells. Like, you know, I could really use a 25. So I looked, and I had two old rectangular, like, zip around lunch boxes that my kids had from, you know, and I was able to squeeze the two dumbbells, to zip them up into each lunch box to give me, you know, a weight to use for, you know, Bulgarian split squats and the you know, lower back exercises and all that. So I imagine the guys doing it at a much higher level have to be a lot more creative than that, or less cheap and actually go out and buy stuff.
Right. I mean, look, we could achieve box jumps in a garage, right? We could do those sorts of things. This is more like the Red Grange workout than it is obviously the modern day running back or something like that. But yeah, there's some fun stuff that I've seen guys do at home. And for my workout, I got my son's frisbee caught up in the tree, and I decided throwing other sports balls up in the tree would work. But I got like four of them stuck up there, but the frisbee did come down, and my rotator cuff is still hanging on by a thread, so we're okay right now.
Now, we've all been there. We've all had the multiple sports items stuck in the tree. There's an ash tree right in front of my parents' house that was always like, what is that? What's that orange thing? It's the Nerf football. Give it time. We'll get it. It'll be
waterlogged by rain now, of course.
Oh, right? Sure. Yeah. And then it dries out and chunks of it start coming out of it. You know, that doesn't quite fly the same way. The aerodynamics get all screwed up. What do we know where the NFL is on, and knowing the NFL, The socio-political storm that swept them up, that had Roger Goodell talking about Black Lives Matter, that had players taking charge and asking for change, that is getting the name of the Washington football team changed. I will say this, the NBA guys are still going strong. I saw Tobias Harris yesterday at his press availability. All he said was he wants the officers who killed Breonna Taylor to be brought to justice, and he mentions the Kentucky Attorney General by name, and they're going to have names on and expressions on the jerseys and messages on the floor, and it's really important to them. Do you think NFL players will keep up the same kind of energy, or is this something that owners and maybe a commissioner could be just like, oh yeah, that thing, whatever that was, sure, okay.
Interesting. Yeah, interesting question. I hadn't thought about it in those terms, but it makes a lot of sense given what the NBA players have started to do. And, you know, I think without the preseason games, maybe this is a narrow-minded way to look at it, you know, there's going to be more focus on guys who are talking after practices and to the media and whatever media are able to assemble there and those sorts of things. But yeah, I think there's going to be sort of a more of an emphasis on those events. And, you know, it's possible that they sort of follow in the coattails of what their other sports are doing right now and carry that momentum forward. And, you know, if so, good for them. God bless them. I mean, that's what we want to see, right? We want to make sure that things are being handled with justice and care and, you know, the proper treatment and respect that it deserves. So, yeah, as far as the league goes, though, it's a great question. I mean, right now, obviously, they're bogged down in all the COVID stuff. Can't really blame them for, you know, not sort of waging a big campaign right at this very moment. I understand that. But when the time comes and all the dust has settled on the protocols and such, it will be interesting to see whether they whether that was just lip service back then or whether they truly intend to kind of back up their words with actions.
We will see. I know there's some players who are watching and listening carefully, and I know that I know we'll hear from them. I know that they they will speak. If they think that this is all being just pushed aside, that they are not going to be shy about saying so.
Right, I agree.
Eric Edholm, always great. Thank you.
All right, have a good day, man. See ya.
Eric Edholm of Yahoo Sports. He covers the NFL and NFL draft for them. We have the Midday Midway coming up next. I have a new system that a beach is using to let you know about things in the water that are bad for you. Also, there is a man who believes we've all been straining pasta wrong and thinks that there is a hack that he has invented that is the objectively correct way to strain pasta. Also, there is an item up for auction today. Hanson's Auctioneers in Derbyshire, England, have something that you may want that is actually really cool. That's coming up next on the Midday Midway. I'm Dan Bernstein. You have the score.
Steve Stone, Score baseball expert and TV voice of the Chicago White Sox, talks Chicago baseball three times a week throughout the season on the Score.
A lot of optimism, but it's not misplaced optimism. It's optimism built on the acquisitions by Rick Hahn and Kenny Williams.
Hear Steve Stone three times a week throughout baseball season on Sports Radio 670 The Score, a radio.com sports station and official radio home of the Cubs.
This segment is brought to you by O'Reilly Auto Parts. Dan Bernstein here. Thunder and lightning can be alarming, and there's more scheduled for this afternoon and this evening and tonight and overnight. What's even scarier than all those noises and sights is afterward when there's storm damage to your home. Well, Aloha Construction is the local expert to repair your damaged roof, your siding, your gutters, your windows, whatever needs it. They have over 20,000 completed projects in the Chicagoland area, and they have received the Better Business Bureau's Torch Award for Business Ethics. Aloha Construction is practicing a contact-free process from start to finish. So visit AlohaBuilds.com today. Aloha Construction. We rain when it storms.
As a truck driver, what's at the top of your mind right now? Running enough miles? Having more home time? Driving for a company that provides peace of mind? Schneider was founded during the Great Depression, and over 85 years later, we continue to have work, so drivers can count on consistent paychecks to provide for themselves and for their families. Schneider remains loaded and moving, while hiring more drivers and adding new customers each day. Take control of your career and apply today at SchneiderJobs.com.
Hi, it's Jamie, Progressive number one, number two employee. Leave a message at the... Hey, Jamie, it's me, Jamie. This is your daily pep talk. I know it's been rough going ever since people found out about your a cappella group, Mad Harmony, but you will bounce back. I mean, you're the guy always helping people find coverage options with the Name Your Price tool. It should be you giving me the pep talk. Now get out there, hit that high note, and take Mad Harmony all the way to Nationals this year! Sorry, it's pitchy.
Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Gracias.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Gracias, Dimas.
Thank you.
Gracias.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you.
On behalf of the Chicago Cubs, a big thank you to all the healthcare workers, first responders, and those working at essential businesses who are keeping us safe, healthy, and happy during these very trying times. We're all in this together.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Blessings. Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you all for your hard work.
Gracias.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Just want to say the biggest thank you to all of you.
Thank you.
More Dan Bernstein on the way in 60 seconds on The Score.
Only Wendy's 2 for 5 has all the chicken you crave. Choose from the crispy homestyle chicken sandwich, delicious spicy chicken sandwich, classic crispy 10-piece nuggets, or the legendary spicy 10-piece nuggets.
But let's be real. You're going to get 20 spicy nugs for $5. I mean, that's what I would do. Enjoy a real deal with the Wendy's 2 for $5. We got you.
Limited time only. Price and participation may vary at U.S. Wendy's. A la carte only. Excludes made to crave.
This is Sports Radio 670 The Score and 670thescore.com. Chicago Sports Station.
The first half or the second half, you know, it's they're two equal times.
Now, Midway.
The Midday Midway.
1, 2.
Midway, the most important of the year.
3, 4.
The most exciting thing on the Midway.
5, 6, 7, 8.
Our objective is Midway.
9, 10.
You guys gotta meet me halfway out there.
So real, you can almost feel
the Midday Midway with Dan Bernstein on The Score.
We started the show by talking about last night's baseball game. It didn't count, but Jay Zawoski kind of thought it did. So we had a little therapy session with him trying to work through his Cubs panic and his Darvish panic. And I know he says he really doesn't feel all that much better, but I'm not a licensed therapist. And there's only so much I can do because there's only 60 games and we don't know what the hell is going on. And I can't really explain any of it. So there's that whole thing, too. And then we had fun with what Bulls center Daniel Gafford said on Twitch last night, where he said he didn't want to hate on Jim Boylan, but he chose to answer the question, do you like Jim Boylan? Is he a good coach? And his response was,
yeah,
all right.
I don't like him a lot, but he okay. I'm not going to hate on him. I'm not going to hate the man.
I don't like him a lot, but he okay. And then he said he has things he can work on as a person and as a coach. Ooh, boy. That is a guy on the end of the roster, a second-round pick who was also in the G League last year, saying that the guy who is the current head coach of the Bulls has things he can work on as a person and as a coach. Okay, then. Also, yeah, Russ Dorsey talked Cubs, and Eric Edholm talked NFL. Warning, warning, there is a new purple flag at the beach. A purple flag, and this was posted by WTVD-TV, oh, my former station. I was an intern there back in 1991. And it's from Kill Devil Hills, North Carolina. If you're heading to the Outer Banks to practice social distancing at the beach, you might notice purple flags flying. Purple flags are now a common sight along the coast, warning of dangerous sea creatures nearby. To be more specific, the flags now feature images of a jellyfish and a stingray to help swimmers get the message. Swimmers fled the surf this week when a group of stinging jellyfish passed through. There are all kinds of different stinging jellyfish. The most famous, of course, is the Portuguese man-o-war, where you can, just because you see the thing up top, it doesn't mean those tentacles can't reach out much closer to you. The purple flag expands warnings to swimmers beyond the red banner that's flown when rip currents are present. Not Rip Taylor. They don't fly a feather. There is a flag you probably could fly when Rip Taylor is present, just to warn you that you might be hit by flying confetti. It says a yellow flag warns of heavy shore break or dangerous currents. They talked to David Elder, who's a supervisor of Kill Devil Hills Ocean Rescue. He said he asked the business Islander Flags and Kitty Hawk to add images of the creatures to be more specific. Now, here's what I found interesting. Shark alerts are not included because they are rare and unpredictable. And I like they add here, the last line, jellyfish can inject people with venom. Stingrays can strike with a poisonous barb. Yes, sharks can eat you. So I love the fact that they completely abdicate responsibility, because sharks, we're not going to warn you of that because they're rare and unpredictable. And also, if you really want to look at the list of things in the ocean that can hurt you and or kill you, we're going to need a lot more flags. I think getting in the ocean, if you're actually going to go in the sea, you have to take under advisement that you could step on a scorpion fish. You can brush up against an invasive lionfish. There are sea snakes that are unbelievably poisonous. It's the ocean. The ocean kills things. Things in the ocean kill other things. It isn't Lake Michigan. It isn't Lake Zurich. This is the sea. We probably know less about that than we do about our solar system, about everything that's going on down there, and the number of creatures that exist that can eat you in one gulp. So if you need a flag to be scared of something, I understand, obviously, acutely, if there are jellyfish all over the place, you can look out there and see them. Usually, you're like, oh, yeah, jellyfish. I don't want to swim near those things because that's a really painful sting. But it gets back to that kayaker off of San Francisco who ran into some great white sharks and then said, I have new respect for the sea. Why don't you have respect now? Think about that first. Just some advice.
I still love sharks. That's so beautiful.
Yeah, but you're missing a leg. All right, well, let's weigh in here. When I make pasta, generally, if it's a big thing of pasta, like if I'm making it for the whole family, I will generally, I don't like to dump the pasta into the strainer because it's an unnecessary step for me. For smaller pasta, I have a strainer spoon where I can just lift everything out in a couple of scoops and put that into the sauce. For larger pasta, I use tongs. I pick the fettuccine out of the water with tongs, I throw it in. But most people, I understand, most people will pour the pasta into the strainer. Well, according to the Daily Mirror, there's at least one man who says, that's just wrong. A man says we've been straining pasta the wrong way all our lives, and he posted a video. First, he shows the regular method, that's pouring the pasta into the sieve. He then shows you how you hold the strainer with the domed end in the pan itself. You then dump out the water over the sink with one hand clasping the domed strainer that's inverted in the pan, pushing the pasta down. You simply dump out the water, put the pan back to normal, turn the pan back over, and lift out the strainer, and then you have strained pasta, and you can do whatever you want with the pasta in that pan. I don't know. I guess. But I think you can do it that way. I don't know if that's the intent of the concave strainer, that it's supposed to be set in the medium-sized saucepan so you can turn the saucepan over. Because I think that would be, there'd be some burn risk there, and there would also be some slippage risk, and it would be more difficult to simply invert a pot full of boiling water, and kind of unsafe unless you were able to stabilize a little bit. If you get your face too close, you get what's called a pasta facial, where you get all that hot steam that comes up, and you end up with like a burned face and a chemical peel. I did it really bad one time where I actually did like have my face turn red for a half a day. I don't know if anybody else Jay Zawoski's face is red all the time, so I don't know if that would be an issue for him. But yeah, I thought about it, and then I realized that I don't do either of these techniques because I was lucky enough. One of the best gifts my kids ever got me at the chopping block, they got me this big pasta slotted, not even slotted, but just the strainer spoon, which works fantastically. So do what you want on that one, I guess, is the rule. Okay, here's an item up for auction that we might have to get in on this because this is from the New York Times. Vampires beware. The ornate velvet-covered box may look like a treasure chest, but open it, and instead of gems and jewels, you will find the ingredients to fight off a blood-sucking monster. A pistol, and it's a cool pistol. It's one of these, like, flintlock, you know, short, like a snub Derringer flintlock pistol. So it's a pistol, three crucifixes, rosary beads, some shark's teeth, and a 19th century Bible. According to Hans's Auctioneers of Derbyshire, England, taking bids on the vampire slaying kit today. And according to the auction house owner, the task of killing a vampire was extremely serious, and historical accounts suggested the need for particular methods and tools. Items of religious significance, such as crucifixes and Bibles, were said to repel these monsters, hence their strong presence in the kit we found. The kit will go under the hammer with an estimate of, care to guess? This actual gothic vampire slaying kit. What would you pay for it?
I have no idea what these sort of things are worth, but I'm going to say like $5,000?
Not a bad guess. They think it's going to go somewhere between $2,500 to $3,770. Its history is unknown. It was purchased at a large antiques fair as a conversation piece. And they say, and therein lies the value of the kit. An English professor and the dean of the College of Arts and Sciences at Quinnipiac University says it's almost surely a fake. but the continued intense interest is an indication of the cultural value that it has. He's studied and taught courses about vampire lore for decades. He said it may not have that kind of historical value, but it has that kind of cultural value. The lockable silk-lined box also contains an oval enamel painting of the resurrection of Christ, a carved ivory wolf in robes carrying rosary beads, a cobalt blue glass vial with a white metal lid and unknown contents, three clear aqua glass bottles, two sets of pliers, a pocket knife with a mother of pearl handle, and an HM silver blade.
And a VHS copy of Bram Stoker's Dracula.
Right. The kit.
Wait
says,
a minute.
Hold on a second here. The professor says is a mixture of five or six different traditions that you never would have seen in a real one, and there were some real ones. He said the out-of-place item to him was the pocket knife, because he said you'd need something bigger to cut off the heads of vampires. And he's never seen the ivory wolf in robes. He said more typical standard vampire slaying kits would include silver bullets, herbs, Herb Lawrence, no, and holy water. Now, where's garlic in all this? I thought garlic was used to ward off vampires, and I thought the silver bullet was used on a werewolf.
Yeah, that's right. The silver bullet is werewolves. Yes. But you're right. Garlic is vampires. Here's my problem with this whole thing. What are the odds that you're within the vicinity of your vampire slaying kit when attacked by a vampire?
Right, and also you're going to have it under proper lock and key, because if the moment the vampire apocalypse arrives, then you got to run upstairs, you got to remember the combination to your slaying kit safe, and then, you know, where's the good guy with the vampire slaying kit when you need him?
Yeah, exactly. This is probably, the best you can do is get like a little fanny pack and put all this stuff in there. And just have it with you that way. That's probably the best bet. But everything is so tiny. The tiny little cross. The vampire's going to have to get really close to say, is that a... Oh, God, yeah, it's a cross. I got to back up a foot, and I'll be fine.
He has to realize to be scared because he doesn't know what it is. Yes. What are you holding up?
Oh,
it is a cross. I'm mildly perturbed by that.
Yeah,
sure.
I'm going to step back. I'll be fine.
Or maybe this only works on certain sized vampires.
That's why you have the pocket knife.
Right,
baby vampires.
Like if it so happens that the White Sox are all bitten by vampires, that only works on Leury Garcia and Nick Madrigal. Who, by the way, Nick Madrigal is tiny. I saw him yesterday.
What would work on him?
I think he's listed at like 5'8". He is a little dude. So I guess it'll work on him. That's the good news. That if he breaks camp with the Sox, and if he's around, and if he turns into a vampire, we certainly have a kit. If you end up buying this today at auction, you'll have an opportunity to handle vampire Nick Madrigal. So that's the good news. All roads lead back to the White Sox. And apparently there was a kit like that on the Antiques Roadshow several years back. And somebody said there should be a random Sox hat in it, too. Yeah. Okay, I'm curious to see what it goes for. And maybe somebody here can drive up the bidding artificially and have the story to tell about it. That is the Midday Midway. Time for some basketball talk. And not just the Daniel Gafford saying he's not going to hate on his coach Jim Boylan while he's kind of doing that. Sekou Smith, who's great on the NBA, Hangtime Podcast, NBA.com, etc. He's going to join us next to talk about the bubble and playoffs and everything else. That's coming up on The Score.
Chicago's number one sports station, dominating Chicago sports talk for nearly three decades. 670 The Score is Chicago sports. Chicago sports is 670 The Score. Radio.com sports station.
If you're in the market for windows, you got to call Russ Armstrong. He's the owner of Chicago Window Guys, and he runs the show. He makes and installs all his own products. He offers a lifetime warranty on all parts and labor. And you can take this from somebody who had Russ come out and do windows, and I'm thrilled with him. It's a great product, way better than what I had before, and the process was absolutely painless. You also will get the best price and deal directly with the owner. Call the Chicago Window Guys today at 847-881-3060. The callers that mention my name will receive 10% off. And I actually had somebody reach out via email and said, I'm doing this order. How do you, what kind of windows did you get? And how do you, and I responded, I said, I don't know what kind I got. I just pointed at something and Russ's like, don't worry. These are going to be great windows. You'll love them. So I said, ask Russ what he put in my house. And indeed he did and told me how happy he was with the deal that he got and how the process was. So you should check it out yourself. 847-881-3060. Check out his reviews at chicagowindowguy.com.
Yeah. Hi, it's Jamie, Progressive number one, number two employee. Leave a message at the... Hey, Jamie, it's me, Jamie. This is your daily pep talk. I know it's been rough going ever since people found out about your a cappella group, Mad Harmony, but you will bounce back. I mean, you're the guy always helping people find coverage options with the Name Your Price tool. It should be you giving me the pep talk. Now get out there, hit that high note, and take Mad Harmony all the way to nationals this year! Sorry, it's pitchy.
Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Only Wendy's 2 for 5 has all the chicken you crave. Choose from the crispy homestyle chicken sandwich, delicious spicy chicken sandwich, classic crispy 10-piece nuggets, or the legendary spicy 10-piece nuggets. But let's be real. You're going to get 20 spicy nugs for $5. I mean, that's what I would do. Enjoy a real deal with the Wendy's 2 for 5. We got you.
Limited time only. Price and participation may vary at U.S. Wendy's. A la carte only. Excludes made to crave.
Things are opening up and the roads are slowing down. Remember the quickest way to stay informed. WBBM Traffic and Weather together on the 8s. Exclusively on News Radio 780 and 105.9 FM. Chicago's weather station.
To take this station with you wherever you go, download the radio.com app today and listen to this.